Good morning, Madison Park Church. How are we doing today? Good. This is Justin. He is over our elementary ministry. My name is David. I'm over high school and college. And this is our fearless leader, Jason, who oversees all of our student ministry and in junior high world as well. And we are honored to be with you this morning. And it wouldn't be a student ministry message without playing a game. So we're going to start this morning with a quick game. And I'm wondering if any one of you have heard of the game show Price is Right. Has anyone ever heard of that? Yeah, okay, perfect, awesome. So we're going to play Price is Right real quick, and these guys don't know what the item is, okay? And the game is you have to guess the price without going over, okay? And I'll be your host, Bob Barker, or if you're in this generation, Drew Carey, you know, whichever one you want to choose. And I need some audience participation to help participation. Yeah, I said that right. We're going to have Jason and Justin against each other, and they're going to need your help to get the best price, okay? So item number one is going to be on the screen, and it is a bottle of hairspray. Tresemme Extra Hold, number four, 11-ounce can that will keep your hair nice and firm all day long. All right, so what do we got? Well, Jason, you're going to be first. I need some help from the audience. I need some prices. What do you got?
$5, Bob.
$5. All right, all right. What'd you hear, Justin? Anything stand out there?
I heard something over here.
Higher. Ooh, we got higher.
Higher?
Oh boy.
Let's go $650.
$650. And well, the retail price of the hairspray is $849. Yeah. There we go. All right. Your next item is an air fryer. This is a Power XL 4-quart air fryer. And now I'll have to preface this. This is not Black Friday deals. This is me Googling and finding out the price, okay? So, 4-quart Power XL air fryer. Justin, you're going to go first. What we got?
$129.
$129. $80. All right, what do you got?
I like the $120. Let's
$120,
go for that.
All right.
I'm going to go with...
Oh, we got higher, we got lower.
Somebody's looking it up.
Yeah, keep your phones down.
I'm actually going to go under. I'm going to go with just $50. So
$50. All right. And the full retail price of the air fryer is $87.79. Oh, yes. There you go. Awesome. All right. We're going to go with the next item. It's a Hamilton Beach 4-slot toaster.
Four slots.
It's got defrost. It's got bagel. It's got the cancel button when, you know, it's almost going to burn, but you want to get the good crisp.
Yeah.
All right. So what we got? $40. Jason, you're first.
I'm going to go $50 again.
$50.
Yeah. Ooh.
I like it.
Consistent.
I was thinking like $36.
$36. Oh. And the full retail price of the toaster is... $44.99. Yeah. There we go. All right. We got two more items. The next one is a mountain bike. This is a Schwinn 700C Glenwood hybrid bike, 21 speed. It has mechanical brakes and premium alloy wheels. Jason, you're first.
I think Justin's first.
Justin, you're first.
All right.
What do we got? $150.
$299. Let's go with, we'll split the difference there. Let's go with like $180.
$180. What do you got?
I'm going to do $181.
$181. All right. We got the full retail price is $348.99. Look at you go. Dang. All right. This last item.
It must have been the alloy wheels.
Yeah.
That's what drew me.
That's what did it. This last item is Thanksgiving themed. We have Thanksgiving coming up, right?
All right.
Everyone's going to have this on their table. Cranberry sauce. Ocean spray. It's a 14-ounce can.
It's pretty.
You're up first, Jason.
No,
any
no
guesses?
No pressure. This is for the win.
This is for the win.
$1.49.
$1.49. All right. Good guess. What we got?
I feel like I got to be that guy and go $150.
$150. All right. The price of the cranberry sauce is 219. Yeah. There it is. All right. And this is a good time to remind you, if you have the turkey in the freezer, today's a good day to put it in the fridge. Don't be that guy like I was last year. Or go get the turkey today, because good luck finding one, right? We are in this conversation this morning, rethinking Christmas in week two. And we're talking about things that we value. And do we value the things that last? And we're going to be in conversation in Matthew chapter 6 today. And we're really excited to present what it looks like to value the things that last. And Jason's going to start us in that conversation this morning.
Yeah, like you said, we're in week two of our Rethink Christmas series. Last week, Keith got up here and he kind of just explained what Rethink Christmas is to this place. He highlighted Operation Christmas Child, and he talked about like the greatness that there is in having a childlike faith and how we can live out those qualities as well. Throughout Rethink and through the end of the year, we will have opportunities for you guys to partner with the missions that we're supporting out at Door D. There's a booth set up out there for you guys to go get information on how you can participate in Rethink Christmas alongside of us. There's some merchandise that you can purchase. All the proceeds to the merchandise are going to go towards scholarshiping students for our summer experiences. So if you get a chance, we encourage you to jump out there and take a look. This morning, as we jump in, like you said, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. It's going to be in the Sermon on the Mount. But before we jump into that even, I want to just go back a couple chapters prior, because I think there's this really cool progression that happens. And you see Jesus in chapter 4, he's baptized, and then immediately following being baptized, he's led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And one of the ways in which he's tempted by the devil is he's taken to the highest mountain, and the devil shows him all of the cities in their glory. And he says, you can have all of these things if you simply bow down to me. And Jesus responds the way he responds to all three of the temptations, and it's by quoting scripture. And he says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him shall you serve. So this morning, as we walk into this conversation of where our priorities are, of where we're storing up our treasures, we get to see the example that Jesus set for us, being tempted by the devil in the wilderness by these types of things, and know that we serve a God, we serve a Savior that has been tried by these things and has been victorious over these things, and he's given us the way to do that. And so we're going to jump in. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
Yeah, I love jumping into this conversation with Jesus and his disciples. It really does something to help us in this season, especially when we're talking about Rethink Christmas. He is addressing this kind of mindset that we approach the season with. See, what Jesus isn't necessarily talking about here is saving up for a rainy day or putting some stuff aside or even having some things. What Jesus is talking about here is more of a mindset. And when he first sets out to describe this situation, he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. When I think of this phrase, for yourselves, I can't help but think about something from my childhood, which is one of the favorite shows that I grew up watching, DuckTales. And if you've seen DuckTales, there's going to be some images on the screen. You know about Scrooge McDuck. And Scrooge McDuck is this guy that has this giant tower full of money. You can see him up on the screen. He's diving in, taking a swim. He's got all of this stuff. And he keeps it for himself. And when I really stop and think about it, I think of that number one dime that he had. This dime that he keeps in this glass jar, and he puts it on display for everybody to see. But it's never to spend. It's never to use. It's only for himself. That's the kind of mindset that Jesus is talking about here. When he's saying, do not store up treasures on earth, he's talking about keeping things for yourself. He then jumps into this kind of weird part about moths and rust and robbers. And when we really break that down, it becomes pretty obvious what he's talking about. You see, when he first mentions these moths, you can imagine back in their day when they had rugs and fine clothes and they had tapestries and all of this stuff to display wealth, just how quick a moth could get in there and destroy and wipe out all of their possessions. And we get that too, right? If we get a moth in our wardrobe, it's a pretty big inconvenience and can be pretty expensive. But for them, it was something that would be very tragic. And when we get into this conversation about rust and metals and things that are precious to people, I can't help but think of my little ghetto car growing up in high school. This car was so beat up that the rust on the tailpipe got so bad that my tailpipe actually fell off driving down the side of the road, right? And so we understand really quickly how fast rust can corrode and ruin and destroy things. Right? A little bit of time, a little bit of oxygen, and a little bit of water can do a whole lot of damage. Right? And when we're talking about these robbers that break in and steal, we're talking about a bunch of people that value what you have, that are coming with the purpose and intent of taking that for themselves. You see, Jesus is really having this conversation surrounding things that diminish and things that last. Right? And I would even go a step further with this illustration and say he's talking about nature when he's talking about moths, right? He's talking about things like hurricanes, earthquakes, all of these things that can destroy the things that we have accumulated. And when he's talking about rust, he's getting at this idea of time, right? In the passage of time, all of these things are not going to last. And when he finally gets down to it, he's saying, man, at the end of the day, if those things don't destroy it, someone else is going to come and take what you have because you're not taking it with you. He's really talking about a conversation about where we invest and the things that diminish versus the things that last.
Yeah. You know, I think that we see this concept all over in the world around us, right? This concept of the things of this world that just don't last. And the first thing that comes to my mind, having a three-year-old, which probably says enough right there, is the times where you, like, you as a parent even get excited, like, because you bought this gift for them, and you're going to give it to them. You know they're going to love this gift. It's going to be so cool. You give it to them, super excited, big smile. They play with it for 5 minutes, and they put it aside, and you're just like, what? Like, I was so excited to give it to her. She was excited to get it, and then there was just nothing. And then we do it again, and we do it again, and we do it again, and every single time it's the same thing. They may play with it a little bit longer, but it ends up being the same thing. It doesn't last. That joy that they have getting that doesn't last. I think about getting the newest cell phone or the newest gaming console. You go and you buy all the accessories, you buy all the different things that go along with that. And by the time that you get everything and you get down to play or to use it, you see the ad for the next better one, the newer one. And you're already having a little bit of that joy sucked out of you because you just thought that you had the best thing. When you go to buy a car, the moment you buy a brand new car and drive it off the lot, what happens? It's amazing, right? So often, we put so much of the stock of the things that we have in this world, and never will those things last, and never will there be a joy that you get from that that's going to sustain us for any amount of time. But the things of this world will do that to us, but that's why we're encouraging us this morning to look at storing up treasures in heaven versus trying to store up the treasures here so that we get that eternal joy that comes with that.
Yeah, so the question is, how do we do that? How do we store up the treasures in heaven? And it's this conversation of priorities that we're having, and when our priorities are on the things of heaven, then we are focused on the things that we can do to store that up. And I think for me, when I ask myself, what does that really look like for me in my life? I look and I see in my backyard is a big giant pile of firewood. And this is the time of year where I'm getting that ready because we have a wood-burning fireplace in our living room, and we enjoy that throughout the winter. And so I look and I go, what does it take to get that pile ready to go? And I pull out the chainsaw, you get the chainsaw ready, you oil up the chain, you put some gas in it, You find the tree that needs to be cut down or the one that's fallen over that's ready to be cut up, and you cut it up into bigger pieces and then a little bit smaller of the chunks, and then you put it on the splitter, and now it's on the ground, so hopefully you have some friends to help you put it on the pile, and it's ready to go. It takes some things that we have to do to store up that pile. And I look at the treasures of heaven and how do we do that, and it looks a lot like what Jesus commands us to do is love God first and foremost. Love your neighbor as yourself, carrying one another's burdens, forgiving one another, and witnessing and testifying about who Jesus is, especially in times of need. Those all look like things that store up treasures in heaven. And it's really the things that have eternal impact is what Jesus is talking about. Are we doing the things that have that eternal impact? Because Jesus says in this verse of where your treasure is, there your heart is also. James would put it a different way in the book of James. Show me your faith without deed, and I will show you my faith by my deed. And when our priorities are focused on the things of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, then we're looking for ways that we can store up treasures in heaven. And that doesn't look like more stuff. That looks honestly like more people. And the stories that we get to tell in student ministry world is awesome to see. From Sunday morning with early childhood and elementary ministry, Wednesday nights, junior high, Sunday nights for senior high ministry. And then it culminates really on our summer trips where we get intentional time to invest in students. And how cool would it be to see the return on our investment when we are investing in the things of heaven? To see stories of students' lives changing. And Jason has the opportunity to tell us of one of those stories this morning.
Yeah. I mean, we could tell story after story up here, and that's the one of the, my favorite things that I get to do. I get to witness a lot of students giving their lives over to Jesus, and it's an awesome thing. And I just want to say that we recognize very much that that we don't get to do what we do without a church body that is generous. On behalf of student ministry team, thank you for the investment that you guys make in the lives of students, whether you realize it or not. And today I get to tell a story of one of my favorite kids. And when I first met this kid around 8 years ago, he was one of those kids that just, you know, He was a handful. He was very frustrating at every turn. He was one of those who knew what he was doing, too. Like, he knew that he was going to be frustrating. He was going to make you mad. He would get kicked out of group. Me and him had a lot of one-on-one time together on Wednesday nights. But one sponsor in particular came alongside this kid. And I remember on our very first Emerge trip with this kid, he had so much that he had to learn and grow in. He had life skills that I didn't even think that a junior higher wouldn't know, that this sponsor walked alongside of him and he built this kid up and he matured this kid, not just spiritually, but like physically and life skill wise. He walked alongside this kid, and just to watch the year after year and the maturity take place in his life. And it's one of those kids that I'm like, I don't think he's ever going to make it. But he kept this trajectory going up, and to fast forward to this past summer where this kid made the decision to be baptized. And just how cool is it that we get to experience the maturity of that kid, that we get to put people in our students' lives that are going to walk alongside of them and bring them up in the Lord. And so this, like I said, this summer he was baptized, and then immediately he's just like, I want to jump in. Like, I want to start serving. And so now he's jumping in, he's starting to serve, and we get to see this incredible transformation in this kid's life. And it's been such a joy to see that and to be a part of that. And again, we recognize the church as a whole has a big part to play in that. And this kid in particular would not have been able to go on any of these trips without being scholarshiped. Every single year he's been scholarshiped to be on the trip that he's on. And so just thank you that, and we're thankful for a church that chooses to shift its focus to the things of heaven rather than the treasures that we store up on this earth.
Yeah,
When we talk about shifting our focus, this next section that Jesus is going to go through with his disciples can be really confusing, all right? When I set out to look at this, I found myself asking Jesus, what the heck are you talking about here? So I'm going to reread this section for us, and then we'll kind of break it down a little bit. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? I don't know about you, but I found myself sitting there going like, Jesus, what in the world do eyeballs have to do with money, right? They just, I don't know, I don't get it. When we look at this text, though, it can become pretty clear when we look at it through the eyes of Jesus's original hearers. See, because for me, I don't know about you, but I get focused in on this like blind, see, light, dark, and it kind of becomes more of a mechanical process. But for them, they would have heard this. They would have thought immediately, the eye is the window to the body. So if your eye has light, then your whole body is healthy. Everything about you is centered in the right spot. But if you had a bad eye, things weren't looking so good for you. And what they would have thought next was of this concept called the evil eye. And for the ancient hearer, they would have heard this phrase, the evil eye, and thought immediately, whoa, this person is solely focused on greed. They're focused only on themselves and what they can get out of life. You see, just like it's impossible to be completely blind and be able to completely see, it is absolutely impossible to be focused on the things of this earth, the things that don't last, and to be focused on the eternal things that do.
Yeah, and the great part of the ending of this teaching is Jesus reiterates that in a very simple, plain terms. If you're confused on the eye and the body conversation, he puts it plainly, you can't serve both God and money. You can't serve two masters. And the word money there is the word mammon, which means wealth and property in general, and putting it on the level almost as a god. We would joke around today and say the almighty dollar, right? Almost in the same breath that we would say the almighty God. And that's the point Jesus is making. The things we focus on, we give power to. And when we give power to money, it becomes a boss. It will absolutely boss us around. It will tell us what to do and how to think. When our priorities are right, then there really is only one true boss, and that's God himself. This whole conversation is wrapped up in a God that is so generous to us. And he gave everything for us so that we could have this kind of conversation. What does it look like to store up treasures in heaven? Not only that, so we could have a true relationship with him. And I look at 2 Corinthians, and Paul puts it this way. He, being Jesus, he was rich but became poor for our sake. He was rich but became poor for our sake. We put value on everything. We put price tags up on all the items, and we give them value. You see, it's impossible to put the value on Jesus because he is the price tag. He's the price tag that says, I want to have a relationship with you, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that you have every opportunity to know who the Father is. See, you heard of just one of the eight different baptisms on Element this year alone. Praising God for the life change that's happening and students saying, I want to reprioritize my life and I want Jesus. Because he became poor for my sake. And we had other students that said, I know who Jesus is and I'm following after him, but my priorities are not looking like they should. I'm hanging out with people in places that I shouldn't, and I want to come back to the place that says, I want to know Jesus more. And I want his priorities to be my priorities. We have students that say, I have these addictions and things that are holding me to this world, and they're not lasting. we give them an intentional week of what it looks like to spend time with the Father. And no matter the student on Embark or Emerge or Element, they have the opportunity to come into the presence of a Savior. Some for maybe the first time. Some to say, I have my priorities in the wrong spot. And I need to refocus, to recenter on these priorities. And as a church, we get to come alongside and partner and say, for my student, for my child, or for my grandchild, that I don't want them to just have the next shiny thing. And this isn't a conversation of adding on. I'm going to still get you all the nice new shiny things and then, oh, also this trip. No, instead of giving them the new shiny thing, I want to give you an experience that will help you shine in the darkness. So you have a time to spend with the Father and understand what it looks like to store up these treasures in heaven as you partner alongside of the church to do just that. And maybe that looks like going to Door D this morning and saying, yeah, I want to scholarship a student. I want to send my child on one of these trips so they can have that experience. Or you're going this morning, man, I don't know if I can do that, but I want to do something. Head to Door D. We can figure this out together. Maybe you're sitting here going this morning of, I have my priorities out of whack. I need to recenter. I need to refocus. Before Jesus went to the desert to be tempted, he spent time with the Father in fasting and in prayer. He spent intentional time with the Father. And that's where it starts for us. We're going to step into a reflective moment where I'm honored to be led by one of our high school students to spend time with the Father. To refocus, to reprioritize the things that we may have been getting wrong, and asking God to search our heart. Because where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And may we be a church that values the things of heaven and goes and does the things that store up the treasures in heaven.